Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host, and we have a really important guest, I believe, because we have a burning issue for this country. Canada's been very much involved in something called the Lima Group, which is attempting to remove the government, the legal government of Venezuela. And our guest is Arnold August, and he is a writer, lecturer, author of books, two wonderful books that I'm particularly high on, Cuba and Its Neighbors and Democracy in Cuba. I think everybody should have a copy of Democracy in Cuba. By the way, Arnold is on Twitter, and you should follow him, and there's arnoldaugust.com. Arnold, welcome to the program.
It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you very much for inviting me.
You're sounding the alarm in your writing, and it appears various places. I urge people to follow these articles. You've had two in recent days, actually. There seems to be a question of whether or not, or an issue, of the Trump administration of perhaps thinking this might be a good time, election season. They are very much involved in trying to overthrow the government of Venezuela. Some ugly things have happened, and that they might choose this opportunity, this time, to go after Venezuela. Talk about that issue.
Yes, of course. That is an important issue for Canadians and for people in many countries around the world. What you're referring to is what is known as the October surprise. That is, it's becoming increasingly known, public, that the Trump administration, with the indirect help of Trudeau and Colombia, they are trying to effect an October surprise just before the November 4th election. And there are several reasons for it. One is to deviate from the fact that the Trump administration has not been able to handle COVID-19. And I think there's another issue that we have to take into account. And perhaps what I'm saying is not very popular with everyone on the left, but the current situation, the planning of the October surprise, is as a result of the Democratic Party. Let me give you explain why I have that view. In the recently released book by John Bolton, he revealed that Maduro was very disappointed in Juan Guaido, and in fact was thinking of having discussion negotiation of president with President Maduro. That was John Bolton saying that. And the very same day, or the next day, Trump confirmed that, saying, if this is true, I'm not against having discussion with Maduro. Now, here's what happened. Immediately, Joe Biden and the Democratic Party attacked Trump, not from the left, but as usual, from the right, saying, look, Trump is afraid to stand up to dictators such as Maduro. So Trump, in order to save his political situation, started to attack Maduro and retracted from any notion that he is open to discussion with Maduro. So if anything happens as far as a military intervention, I personally would put part of the blame on the Democratic Party. That's why I'm saying it might not be popular with everyone on the left, because I know there's a lot of pressure for people to support the Democrats against the Republicans. Now, since that time, since Bolton's book had been released, there's been definite moves on the part of Trump, coordinated with Trudeau. Firstly, Trump's South Command Army commander, Navy commander Craig Faller, openly stated in mid-August that there's a need to get together some kind of a military coalition to intervene in Venezuela. And he openly said, we cannot have American troops involved in that because American troops are not that popular, to say the least, in Latin America. On that, he is right. So the idea was to get a multilateral force. And then a few days later, Robert O'Brien, who replaced John Bolton as the national security advisor for Trump, he traveled, among other places, to Colombia to have discussion in, with the president of Colombia, Duque, on this whole issue of getting a multilateral force together in order to have what you're alluding to, this October surprise before the November 14th election. Now, you mentioned the Lima Group. Before getting into the Lima Group, I'd like to mention that, you know, as a result of the successful conference we had online a few days ago with Jorge Arreaza, there's been a lot, some reports in the mainstream media, and they keep on repeating the Lima Group is going to, the Lima Group is going to this, Lima Group is going to that. Now, I challenge any of these journalists who are writing about the Lima Group, can you please give me the address of the Lima Group? Physical address? How about a website of the Lima Group? If not, how about a Twitter account of the Lima Group? Or anything, a fax number? There is nothing. It is just like the figment of the imagination of Trudeau and others. The Lima Group basically is a stenographer for the orders of Mike Pompeo and Donald Trump. They call the shots, and Trudeau, Colombia, and others, they just rewrite it, and they call, this is a statement of the Lima Group. Now, I think it's important to point out and discuss with the audience, the Lima Group says it's different than the Trump administration. The Lima Group is supposedly in favor of a peaceful transition in Venezuela, you know? So, go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just agreeing. I remember that the foreign minister, Arreaza, said that they even tried to drag Cuba into this game.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so that is the front. The Lima Group said, well, we're different than the Trump administration. We're for a peaceful transition. But that is only not really true, because even the Trump administration, they don't say openly that they're in favor of a military intervention. They want a peaceful transition as much as if it is possible. Now, for the Lima Group to talk about a peaceful transition, it seems to me, Phil, that this is a bit hypocritical. For example, there is no peace. Venezuela has no peace. There is a multi-dimensional war going on, led by the United States and its allies such as Colombia and Canada against Venezuela for several years. The important economists have compiled evidence indicating, and this is economists, not you or myself writing, or Eve Engler or someone on the left, saying that the sanctions have caused over 40,000 deaths in Venezuela. So there's a war going on, and we in Canada were also familiar with another aspect of that war, and that is the media war going on against Venezuela. Maduro has been so demonized by the media over the last few years. It's something that we haven't even seen to that extent in Canada. And of course, it's the diplomatic war, whereby the Canadian government refuses to recognize the elected president of Maduro, and instead recognizes this person who has absolutely no following at all in Venezuela. So I'm saying to Trudeau and the Lima Group people, peaceful transition, there is already a war going on against Venezuela over the last few years.
Yeah. We're speaking to Arnold August. You can go to arnoldaugust.com, and Arnold August is also on Twitter, happily, and you can follow this matter. You know, Arnold, you made this point about the Canadians are much more obedient, actually, than they have been in the past, despite all the rhetoric and the sort of common agreement that Donald Trump is somewhat addled and everybody likes to laugh at him. They follow him word for word. And that includes the Canadian Parliament, right? All those.
Yes. Yes. That is really, that's an important feature of the Canadian political scene at this time. And that is the Trudeau government follows word for word what Trump has to say with regards to Venezuela. Like I just mentioned, the statements made by the South Command Admiral Fowler, as well as Robert O'Brien, the advisor, new advisor to Trump in the mid-August. Now, on August 14th, there were two important statements issued. One by what they call several countries all over the world. There's only about 20 or so, including United States, Canada, some countries of the European Union, but not Ireland nor Norway. And of course, now it includes Israel. It shows how desperate the Trudeau government and Trump government is to try to give the impression they have international support against Maduro. Now, it's the last time I looked at a map, Israel is not in Latin America. All of a sudden, you have Israel coming onto the political scene with regards to Venezuela. So I jokingly said to myself when I read that, well, will the next Lima Group meeting be held in Tel Aviv or Jerusalem? And that's how low they've gone to try to give the impression that the Lima Group had full support all over the world. But the numbers have been dwindling drastically. And the same day on August 14th, there was a statement by the Lima Group indicating that most of the countries, they could not say all of the countries of Lima Group is supporting a democratic transition in Venezuela. Now, the point is, the main feature of the Trudeau government is to give the impression that they are for a peaceful transition in Venezuela. The Trudeau government, and Jorge Arias has said it very clearly last week. He said the Trudeau government, I'm using my own words now, is doing the dirty work for Trump. Because if Trump was part of the Lima Group, they would lose all credibility just of using American forces in Latin America. So Trump, here we have Trudeau, the poster boy liberal, providing a front for exactly. Trump's aggressive actions against Venezuela.
Yes, exactly. You raise this point. I mean, they talk openly, and you cited an American admiral who's in charge of making a plan, actually, to how to move this government. This is a public story, but there is no objection from Ottawa or any party in the parliament. They don't say, no, wait a minute, we're not for that. They don't condemn it. They meanwhile embrace U.S. leadership on this question. And it puts Canada in a highly isolated position along with U.S., right?
That's exactly it. How does Trudeau operate? Like on the issue of aggression, we recall not too long ago in the May 3rd and 4th of this year, there was an attempted military incursion by sea against Venezuela with the specific purpose, and this was later corroborated by the American Green Berets who were arrested in Venezuela, to try to get into Caracas, capture Maduro, and assassinate him. Now, on that day, that was May 3rd and 4th. Now, what did Trudeau say anything, or any members of the Canadian Parliament say anything against that military invasion, which we saw that wasn't even on TV in Canada? No, on May 4th, Trudeau's foreign minister, Champagne, issued a tweeted that he just had a great conversation with Colombia with regards to the situation in Venezuela and how they're trying to deal with the situation in Venezuela. On the same day that the Venezuelan people defeated a military incursion, and the next day, on May 5th, another tweet from Champagne saying, I just had this great conversation with Juan Guaido, the so-called president of Venezuela. Now, I think it's important for listeners here to see. They didn't denounce the military incursion. They didn't support it either. But this is how these liberals operate. That's why you might know I have a big thing against liberals. They are the most dangerous. That Trudeau uses what I call dog whistle diplomacy. So when they issue these tweets on May 4th and 5th regarding Venezuela, and you know they need to intervene to help the situation in Venezuela, what the that is for the Canadian consumption. You listen to that whistle, dog whistle, and Canadians are supposed, oh, that's great. Canada did not support that military incursion in Venezuela. But that same dog whistle, the United States and Colombia, what they hear is something different. By their silence on that military incursion into Venezuela, Trudeau is saying, we support it. Yes. But he doesn't have the guts as a conservative to say, we support it. They just pretend they don't support it, but they indicate indirectly to the United States and Colombia, go ahead, carry on these military incursions. You could count on us to not say anything against it. And that is the danger of these liberal type of politicians, these use of dog whistle diplomacy.
Yeah, and well, and it's disappointing. Of course, we with our Conservative Party, we have the game they play of they would be making noises. Why don't we do it? And as you pointed out, they would say, see, you're not man enough to say, let's do this.
But yes.
Meanwhile, we have Social Democrats. They're not saying anything either.
Yes. I think that point is okay. But at the same time, I'd like to indicate a small caveat. And that is the following. There was an online Zoom meeting that took place on Bolivia about 10 days ago with Matthew Green from the NDP.
Yes.
And he had a very good position. I don't know, did you see that, Phil?
I'm aware of it. And I would take my hat off to Matthew Green.
He took a very good stand against the Canada's imperial policy towards Venezuela and Bolivia. And I think others in the NDP think the same way, such as Nikki Ashton, and there may be others. So we cannot make a blanket statement with regard to the NDP. However, I would like to use this platform today to appeal to all of the MPs sitting in the House of Parliament, including the leader of foreign critic leader, Jack Davis, to take a stand, even if Parliament is not meeting. So what? This is important. We're talking about Canada and United States inflaming a possible war in Venezuela that affects the whole region. Make a public stand now, publicly, whether Parliament is in session or not. We do not agree with the Trudeau's policy of applying Trump's objective for an October surprise, a military incursion into Venezuela. And also, I think the trade unions, who were very vocal about a year and a half ago, with regards to opposing U.S. interference in Venezuela, and later on Bolivia, now is a time, in my view, if I may say so, that the trade unions have to speak out now against what is going on, the provocation that is being planned openly by the United States and Trudeau and Colombia against Venezuela. Take a stand, whether you agree with Maduro or not, that's not the issue.
Right.
Venezuela has a right to its own sovereignty, its own independence. Maduro was elected legally, and the trade unions should take a stand now publicly that we do not agree with Trudeau's indirect support of Trump's attempt for a military incursion into Venezuela. We're talking the next month or two. I think that is important that the trade unions take a stand now.
And how about ending relations with a criminal, Mr. Guaido, who is publicly, we have the documents and evidence, he hired mercenaries against his own government. Why do we continue any connection with him?
That's a very good point. I mean, how low can you get? The so-called Venezuela Guaido signed a contract, which is still, by the way, Phil, that contract signed between Guaido and the mercenaries in Florida is still applicable as we speak now. How low can you get? Signed a contract for a hit job to try to invade and assassinate the leader of a country such as Venezuela. And Canada, I mean, it's really amazing and at the same time sickening that when Guaido visited Ottawa, Trudeau was so happy to take a selfie with Guaido. I mean, how low can you get? Even even Trump had second feelings about Guaido, as was revealed in John Bolton's book. And I think Ariasa wrote a very good article for our colleagues in the United States, an alternative website in the United States, in which he said that Trump should have followed his initial instincts and have discussion with Maduro. And that's true, but Trudeau doesn't even acknowledge that perhaps discussion is better than bringing a disaster in the whole region south of the Rio Grande.
Absolutely. We're speaking to Arnold August, author, lecturer, and by the way, Arnold's on Twitter. I urge you to go to that site because you can follow and be up to date in time with what the issues we're talking about. You know, there's another politician, in my view, who deserves a lot of attention and credit in Canada, and that's Dimitri Lascaris.
Exactly.
And I noticed David Heap is working very hard for him. I mean, we need someone like this. He actually visited Venezuela.
Exactly.
We would like Canadian politicians go to that capital, shake a few hands, have a conversation with people.
Yeah, I'm following that very closely, and I agree with the appeal. I'm not a member of the NDP. I'm not a member of any political party. However, I'm going to make an exception. I am going to become a member of NDP for this sole reason of voting for that candidate you just mentioned. Because I think
The Green Party.
The Green Party, yes. Because it's not just a question of one candidate and one party. By voting for Dimitri, we have the possibility of swinging the political pendulum towards the left.
Yes.
The NDP, if he wins, we're going to have to say, well, we have to watch our step because look who is the head of the NDP. And that will be a positive thing for the Canadian political scene. And I think on the question of Venezuela, it is really important that we have someone who is courageous enough to go against the mainstream dominant media in Canada, the Liberal Party, of course, the Conservative Party, to say that we do not agree with the pro-Trump Trudeau policy on Venezuela. So I encourage others who are like me, who are not members of any political party, not members of NDP, to join, just to take part, to participate in the elections for the new leader of the Green Party. We need that.
Yeah, we've spoken to him on this show. I was very impressed. I like the idea, and I think Matthew Green does this as well, but you know, everybody, the Canadian media, certainly the Canadian Parliament, certainly Trudeau, they just seem to work from a script that is double-checked by Washington.
Exactly.
And shows the slightest initiative to just say, I'm going to, as an elected person or one who wants to be elected, I'm going to go down there and have a look and I will report to my constituents. Wouldn't that be a psychological breakthrough for Canadians?
I think this is what we need in Canada. We need people like him and others such as Matthew Green and Nikki Ashton and others who are familiar with the situation, who are not afraid to speak their mind. Even if they're a small minority, I would say for someone who takes a stand on the issue of Venezuela, once people are aware of the facts and how Trudeau is aligned with Trump, they will have support of millions of Canadians across the country, of the trade unions, of the social movements. This is what we need in Canada. And I don't want to put all of the accent on Venezuela, but in my view, Venezuela is the epicenter of the world anti-imperialist socialist struggle at this time. It reminds me a bit, perhaps it's exaggerating historically, it reminds me a bit of the Spanish Civil War, right? Everyone had it in the world had to take a stand. You stand with fascism or you stand with the Republic. And I would say the historical analogy is not too exaggerated, that in the world today, where you stand in Venezuela is primordial, is really important. And we have to make sure that Canada, the Canadian people, we are not at all linked with Trudeau's servile attitude with regards to Trump against Venezuela. And that's why I think that voting for Matthew Green, voting for those, supporting Matthew Green and the new Green Party candidate, we will move the political spectrum towards the left and make a breakthrough with regards to the very important issue of Venezuela.
Yeah, it opens some windows and turn on some light.
Right.
Get some discussion. I often envy the situation, as bad and evil as the American empire has become, at least there are a few congresspersons, particularly the so-called squad, but they who say things which are remarkably in contradictory to U.S. policy. They name it and they condemn it. And meanwhile, our parliament has been locked down, frankly, very silent. I'm going to make sure I ask you to clarify for people that there is, as far as I know, there's two pretexts on the table at the moment for when if they pull a trigger on Venezuela. One would be they use the term narco state, for crying out loud.
Exactly.
And then the other is refugees. Could you talk about those two things?
Yeah, I think that's a very important point, because the United States, we know historically, have always used pretexts in order to invade other countries. It goes back a long time. For example, at the end of the 19th century, the United States blamed Spain for blowing up the ship Maine in the Havana Harbor. That was a pretext for the United States.
Remember the Maine.
Remember the Maine, blame it on Spain, right? And that was a pretext for them to go into Cuba and to take over Cuba. We have the more recent examples, for example, in Vietnam, using the weapons of mass destruction is just another of many examples that the United States and their allies use as pretext to invade. Now, what is interesting about Venezuela? I'm glad that you mentioned, there are really two different pretexts going on at the same time, and one has nothing to do with the other. Now, the Canadian slant is the pretext is so-called they're concerned with COVID-19 and the issue of humanitarian crisis, people leaving Venezuela to go to other countries. That's one. That's the Canadian view. But the fact is that Venezuela has been one of the most effective nations in Latin America in fighting COVID-19, while Trudeau's main allies in Latin America, such as Colombia and Peru, which now, as of today, has the second highest COVID-19 death rate after Belgium. That's right. All these countries are disasters with regards to COVID-19, but Trudeau and his cabinet has the gall to say that we want to deal with the issue of COVID-19 because Venezuela is not doing a good job. I mean, Colombia, people are dying on the street as a result of COVID-19. And Venezuela, by the way, Phil, is the only country in the world that is accepting people who have been contagious with COVID-19, accepting their request to come back to Venezuela in order to be treated properly. So I think it's one of the most cynical positions that we have seen in recent times in terms of creating foreign policy with regard to COVID-19. Now, the other thing is, and talking about cynical, I wrote an article about this, I don't regret it, detailing Trudeau's cynical use of COVID-19 and try to whip up support for his bid to have a seat on the United Nations Security Council. So COVID-19 is one. Now, the United States, as you mentioned, they have another pretext. It's not COVID-19. Their pretext is narco traffic. Supposedly that Maduro is involved in narco trafficking. Now, of course, they do not deal with the fact that the main supplier of narcotics in the United States is Colombia. Yeah. Venezuela is not at all involved in this. So the question that listeners might be, hey, if there's two pretexts, one COVID-19 and one narco, perhaps neither of them are valid. You can't have two pretexts for the same objective. Now, I think that it's important that people see through this so-called pretext, as you made, COVID-19 and narco traffic. It's completely, it's part of the U.S. tradition of creating pretexts to invade other countries.
Yes. Now, our biggest job would be to get the word out about all this. You write at Canada Files, Global Research.
Canadian Dimension as well. I write quite a few, yes.
You're reminding people that Telesur is available to them. we really have, people who want to follow this have to understand it no longer, you can't say, well, I can't get that paper. Just the internet does give you a degree of freedom. There's this wonderful group in the U.S. and Mr. Blumenthal's, I believe you've written there.
No, but I follow him very carefully, as well as the Gray Zone. Excellent source.
Gray Zone. We have to really step up all that. And I'm really glad you're writing about this. It's Arnold August and Twitter. I think people ought to just follow your writing and others. One, I ask you about this. People have to also understand we're also under pressure from these wonderful sites. I think, is it Venezuela Analysis who's having trouble keeping themselves?
Exactly. That's one of the, it's really interesting. I planned to write something about this at one point, but the Canadian government about a year ago, they had a Freedom of the Press, Media Freedom Conference in London. And they're planning another one in Quebec City in the fall. Now, this Canadian government, who's so much in favor of media, freedom of the press, etc., they have nothing to say. For example, the first, when the Lima Group meeting took place about 2 years ago, and Telesur English, in the name of its president, by its president, Patricia Viejas, they requested to send a correspondent, a journalist to Ottawa to participate in the Lima Group meeting. The Canadian government refused that request. What happened to media freedom? And since that time, you have others. Venezuela Analysis has had problems. Their website has been brought down several times. And there are a lot of examples from around the world where the United States uses its control over the social media in order to shut down or denigrate websites that do not favor the goals of the U.S. empire. And I think Canada has to answer to the fact, how you talk about media freedom, and organize meetings in London and Quebec City about media freedom, but you can't even allow Telesur English to come to Ottawa to cover the Lima Group meeting, that you have nothing to say about alternative media being shut down by Google and by other U.S.-controlled media conglomerates. I think that the listeners here, as well as other people involved in the alternative, we have to raise this directly with the Canadian government. We cannot let them get away with the presenting the impression that they're in favor for media freedom. I mean, this should be one more example. That their closest ally against Venezuela is Colombia. How many journalists, trade union leaders have been assassinated in Colombia over the last few years. Yes. Where is Canada's concern with regards to media freedom in Colombia?
Yes, we should be for that. Well, thank goodness we have Arnold August on Twitter and arnoldaugust.com. Arnold, it's a pleasure talking to you. We look forward to talking to you again sometime soon.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Sure thing. Bye-bye.
Bye.